Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.
This is Comedians with Ghost Stories, and I'm your host, Emily Winter. Today on the podcast, Pranav Bihari.
Hello.
Welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And I've never heard your ghost story before, so I'm super pumped to hear this. When does it take place?
I have a lot of ghost stories, actually.
Oh, yes.
I've had multiple ghost stories, and do you want me to tell you the most recent one?
Tell me the most recent, and then we'll do a bunch of them.
Okay.
We can might as well.
So this is not one where I saw a ghost, mm-hmm. but I experienced like the entity in my apartment. This is the building that I live in now.
Wait, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you are sort of a medium or have some sort of power?
I don't think so. I know a lot of people who are like that,
okay.
and who really have that level of sensitivity.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have that level of sensitivity.
But you have a little something.
I guess it's a little something, but it's things that happen tangibly that people who don't believe in ghosts then had to witness as well.
But, like, nothing ever happens to me.
Well, I'm sorry. Open your eyes, Emily. How about that, huh?
Okay, so...
They're begging to get your attention.
I would love that. Okay, so this is in your current apartment in
Brooklyn? It's actually right next door. So, meaning it's same building, same floor, literally right next door. So, I've lived in this building now for 7-8 years.
Okay.
And about 4 years ago, I moved from the old apartment to this apartment that I'm in now.
Okay.
And so this happened in the old apartment, and just some, I guess, backstory about the place. When I moved in there, I was started as a subletter,
mm-hmm.
and I was subletting for this family from Senegal. They were like a young family, and they had put up an artificial wall in the living room to make an extra bedroom, basically, because they wanted to treat it like a bed and breakfast while they were living there.
Okay, great.
Make some money. So I moved in there, and when I moved in, the super was this really crazy dude. He was like a Jamaican Gandalf the Wizard. That's like what he looked like. He was super tall, and his face was very wizened, and he had this long beard and these long dreads. And he was like, listen to me, man, you know, the people who were here before. He was like, get rid of all their stuff. He was like, you got to get rid of it, because they had a lot of occult things there.
Okay.
Which was, for me, that doesn't do anything for me, because
right.
I was raised a Hindu, so anybody who's Christian is like, you're the devil anyway, you know? So I'm like, whatever.
You're not bothered by that, yeah.
I'm not bothered by that. So the statues and all that, and he started taking that kind of stuff out, and I never thought anything about anything. What had happened was I was staying in the artificial room. There was mm-hmm. great light in there, and that's where I lived. But I would have guests over, like two of my best friends, two separate occasions came and visited, and one of them, he was a guy from Spain, really nice guy, and I woke up the one morning and he was sleeping in like what was the living room on the couch. I was like, what mm-hmm. are you doing? You know, it's a huge bedroom actually. And he was like, I don't like it in there. I don't like. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, it's not good. I don't want to talk. He didn't want to talk about it. I'm like, okay, fine.
Huh.
And then another friend came and visited, a really good friend of mine. And she stayed in that room, and again, in the middle of the night, she moved out of there.
Oh my God.
And it was like, what's going on? And she was like, that's a horrible room. I don't like it in there. And, you know, basically she told me about this dream. Earlier in the night, for context, we were listening to Roxy music. I don't know if you know, mm-hmm. you know the band at all. And they have this song called Love is the Drug. It's a great funky little jam. And we were listening to them earlier in the night, and she said, listen, I had this dream, and it was about a little boy whose throat was cut, and he was singing Love is the Drug through the hole in his throat. I was like, that is horrific.
Oh, that is so scary.
That's terrifying. Now, keep in mind, I've rarely, at this point, been in that bedroom at all.
Yeah.
You know, I just never went in there.
So you subletted the whole place.
Basically. I mean, I stayed in that room. I'd had a couple roommates, and none of them ever stayed very long in there.
Mm.
One of them did stay there for like a year and a half, and she always kept the lights on in her room, even when she slept. She never really told me why, and I don't know. There was another guy in there who lived there for like 6 months, and he was already creepy. That might have been the ghost, as far as I know. You know, he literally used to play organ music in the room.
Oh my God!
And he never slept at all, and he was just a weird guy. But people would just come, and they would only stay like a few months here and there.
Wow!
And so eventually, I'm like, okay, I want to stop subletting that room, and I just want to have the whole apartment to mm-hmm. myself. And So I took down that wall. And when you took down that wall, a lot of beautiful light just comes flooding into the apartment. I started staying in the other room. And I took down that wall because my girlfriend, who at the time lived in Lebanon, my ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. You're so worldly.
I'm so worldly, yeah. Spanish friends in Lebanon.
Whoa.
The other one is just a normal white girl from California. That was the other friend, if that cuts it at all. And so when my ex, Miren, came and moved in with me, we started staying in that big room, and I didn't really experience anything in there. I didn't like the room because of the light and stuff, and it didn't have a great feeling about it, but it was so much bigger that I liked it.
Yeah.
And things started happening. There's a very unusual kickoff to this. One afternoon, you know, we're both just hanging out in our underwear. And she's like, look at these. Do you like these panties that I'm wearing? They're new panties. She's like, this is my absolute favorite pair of underwear. Mm-hmm. I love them. Mm-hmm. And she's telling me about this. I'm like, great. And next thing you know, they come off and we have sex. Mm-hmm. And it's time to put our clothes back on. And she's like, where's the underwear? And I'm like, I don't know.
Where did you leave them?
He's like, where did you leave them? And
always the problem.
Right.
I hate not being able to find my underwear.
So we're looking around and keep in mind, it's not like it was passionate sex. We're just throwing the clothes off or whatever, you know, it should have just been on the bottom of the bed. It was not there. It was her favorite pair of underwear by her own admission, right? By her own declaration. So we're looking everywhere feverishly for this pair of underwear. We just can't find it. And it was insane. It was really weird. It was very, very surreal because it was only 15 minutes before, you know.
Right.
So I just outed myself as a quick lay.
15 minutes is fine afternoon.
That's a couple years into the relationship, you know. Who do I have to impress? Exactly. We had a system down. but we just could not find this underwear anywhere. And I'm immediately, because I'd mentioned, I'd had other experiences with like slightly paranormal experiences. And there's a lot of things about removing things, placing them in other places, things like that, or just removing them outright. And so I started to get a weird feeling about it because it was just so, just on the pure level of empiricism, the underwear was right there and now it's not there. And we literally searched under the bed, under the sheets, every possible thing you could imagine.
Yeah.
We've searched for it and we can't find the underwear.
Yeah.
And so that was the beginning. I'm already like, that's weird. And it's also because I just had a weird feeling in the room and stuff like that. And then,
and you've had people tell you.
And I had people tell me, this is a weird room. And so after that, a lot of other stuff started happening. The most recent thing to that incident was I just bought a sieve because we were cooking Thanksgiving dinner for like 10 or 15 people. Mm-hmm. So I had to buy a sieve for cooking or whatever. And not long after that, we invited a good friend of mine over for dinner. And we needed to use the sieve again. And we're like, can't find the sieve. And we had like even nailed a thing on the wall and put it there. And that's where the sieve goes. I felt like an adult buying a sieve. It was the weirdest adult flex of mine. It was like, I have a sieve and I'm putting it right here. Could not find this thing anywhere. Like anywhere at all. We're tearing the kitchen apart. Can't find it anywhere at all. I'm at this point just like not feeling good about this. It was only like a few weeks before that the whole underwear thing happened. Like I don't like the feeling about this, and I'm telling her, and she's a hyper rational person, you know, really just about the empiricism and all that. And I'm like, look, I get it, but where's the fucking sieve? She's like, I don't know. Maybe we threw it by accident. I'm like, okay, fair. The next day I come home from work. And she's just hanging out in the living room. I'm in the kitchen and I'm just opening up. I open up the drawer, the silverware to get a spoon because I was having a snack. And there's the fucking sieve. It's just on top of everything else.
Whoa.
It's just on top of everything. And I just say to her before I even tell her, I'm like, hey, did you find that sieve? And she's like, no, I haven't seen it. And I'm like, it's right here. It's right here where we looked 10 times at least yesterday.
Oh,
it's just
God.
Right here. And at that point, I saw her blanch a little bit, you know, like she didn't want to fully come out, but she was like, I don't want to talk about this is what she said.
Okay.
She said, I don't want to talk about this. After this, tons of things are just going randomly missing. Hats, articles of clothing. I'm finding my keys in funny places, like just stuff that's really weird.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm also just not feeling great in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a weird vibe in there. And I don't really know how to explain it. I don't want to say I felt like I was being watched, but there's a feeling that you have going down a hallway sometimes where it's like, there's somebody behind me. You can sense that. And I swear, sometimes I would just be like, there's somebody behind me. And of course, there's nobody behind me.
Now, is all this occult stuff that they had, is that still in the apartment?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because you kind of like made it your own.
Yeah, because I've kind of made it my own a little bit more. So none of that stuff is in there. And, you know, I'm just like, I'm just out loud, just like, what the fuck is going on here? I have no idea what's going on. Now, mind you, most of the people in my building at this point were into the occult, which is a weird thing to say. It was like an occult building. I don't know. I mean, you know, most of them were Caribbean, so it's not a cult. They're practicing really different forms of spirituality and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at one point I brought it up to the super. I'm like, you know, it's weird in there. And he's like, yeah, I'm telling you, the people before, they were fucked up. They were weird. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. At this point, I've taken on the lease myself because those people had jumped ship on the lease and basically there was a lot of rent not being paid. He's telling me that. I'm like, whatever, dude. I don't buy any of this. But I am getting really desperate because things are feeling really shitty in the apartment. And everything culminated one day when I opened up the mailbox and I found a tiny little statuette of a headless angel. I swear to God, I have the picture of it still.
Oh my
I can
God.
Show it to you.
I got you.
It was so fucking weird. And I'm just looking at this and I'm like, this is bullshit. You know, like this is just fucking bullshit. Like, what is this? Somebody must be doing something here, but who could have actually been doing anything? And I'm just like, maybe it's a pin, you know, maybe it was just a button that fell off on, it was a cuff link or something for the mail person, but there's no back to it or anything. And
oh my God,
I just don't know what the fuck's going on, you know? And I just see it. And at this point I just reached my limit. I was just, I fucking had it up to here. And, I showed my girlfriend, I'll show you the picture after this. And my girlfriend was freaked out by it. At that point, she was just like, she had not been really hanging out in the apartment by herself at all.
Okay.
She had stopped being, she would just go to the cafe during the day if she had to do her work. She was a freelance, she was a writer. So she would just not stay in the apartment at all during the day. And when she saw that, she really was not happy. And at least then, though, I could be like, well, you know, do you accept? And she was just, she still didn't really want to. She was just upset. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to call my friend who knows about stuff like this. And I did. And she came over and did like a cleansing ceremony of the apartment. Mm-hmm. And nothing happened after that.
It worked?
I guess it worked, but we had no other experiences after that. The apartment felt better. She started hanging out in the apartment for longer periods of time and so on and so forth. And
holy smokes.
Yeah, that was the most recent thing. And
that's insane.
Kind of. I mean,
do you have any thoughts about it now?
Is, like, it's just like, because it's only.
Did she ever find her underwear?
No.
Oh,
no. That never turned up. A couple things didn't turn up, you know, like books and stuff like that, stuff that never leaves the apartment.
Right.
But no, none of that stuff, you know, was ever recovered.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know what to make of it because my friend who came over was like, there's definitely something going on in this place because she's one of those people. She's like a kind of a medium. She's very sensitive. She's like, there's definitely something going on in this place. And she just did a, you know, she burned the sage and all this. She did a couple other things and after that, nothing happened. It was fine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This was like definitely a mean ghost.
It was like, well, it could have been a child was the one thing.
Oh, yeah. Hiding stuff.
Because the hiding stuff thing had happened to me before, maybe like 15 years before, 15 years ago when I was like a teenager, going to a friend of mine's apartment and something similar, but way more just like freaky.
Let's do that story.
Okay. So this is in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. I'm going to visit a friend of mine. I'm newly free. You know, I'm 16. I've got a car. I've got my parents' car. I drive to King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. And
where are you from?
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, or just outside of it. And I go to this apartment building, King of Prussia, and he tells me, he's like, listen, we're not going to be there, but we might not be there. We might be running out, but, you know, we should be there. I said, okay, fine. So I go up to their apartment, and I just knock on the door, and the door just opens.
Whoa.
It was very bizarre how it was. It was almost like the bolt was just not even there, but the door just opened, and I was like, weird. And this is August, and it's very hot out, and I go in the apartment, and it's very cold, and there's no AC going, because they've got fans and stuff. None of them are on, and it's very cold in the apartment. I'm like, hello, hello. Nobody's actually there. I'm like, weird. I don't feel good in the apartment, and also they're not there. It's my first time being there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't even know this. This is their place. I see things that definitely belong to them, but I was like, I didn't feel great in there. I dropped my bag, took a book out, waited, sat in the lobby, and that was it. They came by. We're like, okay, let's smoke some weed. Mm-hmm. You know, we're big stoners. Friend's like, yep, let's smoke the weed. He's looking for the weed. He's like, I can't find the weed. I'm like, yeah, you're a stoner. Obviously, you lost the weed.
Right.
He's like, no, it's not the stoner. His girlfriend, who doesn't really smoke, is like, it's the ghost. I'm like, shut up. I'm not buying any of this shit. Yeah. Even though I'd had some childhood experiences. I'm not really buying this shit. He's like, I'm telling you, dude, it's the ghost. He's ripping the apartment apart looking for the weed. And he's a stoner, and he loves weed, and that's his life. So I was like, okay, whatever. Me and his girlfriend go out to go get some liquor and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I remember at one point I'd called him while we were there. I'm like, hey, did you find the weed? He's like, dude, I can't find it. You know, it's going to turn up really randomly because that's what this thing does. This okay. is what he says. I'm just like, ha, 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 shut the fuck up.
How are you getting liquor at 16?
Well, I'm not. She is.
Oh, you had, like, 15. Really...
Yeah, she's not 15. She's 5 years older than I was. Okay. Then. I was probably more like 17, 18 at this time.
Okay, I was like, you have old friends.
I was like more 17, 18 at this time. So, anyway, we come back to the apartment, and, you know, I see him still looking around, and we're sitting in the living room, and he's looking for the weed in there, and we go to the bedroom, and there's nothing there. And then I come out to the living room, and the bag of weed is just sitting, like, right in the middle of the couch.
Oh my God. Sitting there.
And they're like, it's the ghost. I'm like, ha, 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 shut up. Whatever. I ignore it. We're drinking a bunch. We drink a bunch of, like, tonic water and seltzer, and they're telling me about this ghost and whatever. And I'm like, okay, this is all bullshit. And, we run out of tonic. I'm like, oh, let me get the other bottle. We definitely got two bottles of tonic. Can't find the bottle of tonic. Oh gosh, where is it? We're going into the back of the refrigerator. They're immediately like, dude, we know the drill with this. I'm in the bathroom because I'm like, they're fucking with me right now.
Yeah.
They're like, we swear to God, we did not move the bottle of tonic. I'm like, fuck you guys, whatever. So we decide to go to a bar and just drink a little bit. Come back home, hang out, go to bed. I wake up at 3 a.m., the witching hour, more or less. Mm-hmm. It's really not feeling good in the apartment. Like, I'm just like, this is creepy. Mm-hmm. It feels like air conditioning level cold, even though they only had fans. And I'm like, I'm thirsty. I go to the fridge. Right in front of everything else is the bottle of tonic. It's just sitting there, just like staring at me. I'm like, this is fucked up.
Oh, my God.
So it's not over. The next day they had to like go to work or something. I forget what it was. They had to go to work or something like that. And I was going to go visit some other friends like in Philly. And, I remember I come back at night to meet them, and it's like maybe 10 o'clock at night, and I knock on their door and nobody answers. So I call them. I'm just standing in front of their door, and I call them, and my friend's like, yeah, sorry, we're not back. We'll be back in like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, cool. I shut the phone off. And as soon as I shut the phone off, the door knocked at me. And then I just fucking bolted and went back down to the lobby.
Oh my God.
I was just like, I can't fucking do it with this place.
No. Oh my God, that gives me chills.
It was really creepy.
So did they move out? Like, what? That's a haunted.
They then found out that a child had been killed in that apartment.
Really?
Yeah, a child had died in that apartment, apparently. Because this is like a modern-ish building.
Right.
It wasn't like an old place that's creaky. It was like a fairly modern apartment. And they had bad feelings and da-da-da-da-da and...
Oh my God.
And they said that finally somebody else from the building who was like some kind of a medium was like, there was something bad happened in your apartment, blah, blah, blah.
Did they get it cleansed?
No, I think they moved out pretty soon after. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. You have great stories. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I have one more if you want it.
I want it. I want them all. Okay. This is so great.
So this is when I was a really small child. This is when I was a really small child. This is all my ghost stories. I'm a very small child, and I start sleeping in what was my brother's bedroom. And I would just see this woman just in the corner of the room. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a kid, I was like, that woman is made of cobwebs. That's so weird. And I would see her like pretty consistently. And I wasn't dreaming, and I knew I wasn't dreaming because I would have dreams and it wouldn't be like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm explaining this right, but I would see this woman and she would get closer and closer, and I wasn't scared of her. And I was actually like kind of, this sounds weird, but I was like kind of turned on by this woman, even though I was like a really young boy.
Yeah.
I was like kind of into this. I was like a horny young boy, I guess. Yeah. And I was like, and she would come closer, and I would, at one point I remember she just kind of came over me, and I was like, ooh, it was very weird.
That's so funny.
It was so weird. And, but I would see her consistently, and then I remember, and it was a very weird thing I remember, because there was a crabapple tree in front of the house that I grew up in, and I like loved that tree. I used to spend all my time in that tree. I would climb it all the time, and just I would eat the apples off of it, and I just loved it. And one day my parents, the township or whatever, told them they had to cut the tree down. And the night before that happened, I saw the ghost.
Okay.
And then I had this dream about the Wicked Witch, and we were standing in front of that crabapple tree, and the Wicked Witch came up to me, and I'm like, ooh, the Wicked Witch. And for some reason, I was kind of aroused by this, and she comes, and she puts her face against my face and kind of kisses me, and I'm like, this is weird, and I feel something weird, like a grain or something in my mouth. And I'm like, I thought it was like a tooth, you know? Mm-hmm. And I spit it out, and it was two apple seeds. And then after that, the tree got cut down, and I never saw that woman in the corner of my room again.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So you think she was like a ghost of the tree?
It was a very weird thing, but I was like, I distinctly remember, like, after that, there was no other appearance of this woman, of this ghost woman. So, I do remember my mom being really afraid of being home sometimes, though. And
really?
Like, especially going into the basement to do, like, the laundry. She would always bring me with her. And I'm like, what the fuck am I? I'm like, what am I? Yeah. Like, your five-year-old human shield, yeah. You know? Like, what the fuck, mom? You know? But she just, like, she really would get kind of creeped out being there.
Huh. So do you think the woman, the Wicked Witch, was the cobweb lady?
I know. I think that was just a dream, you know? That's like dream stuff where it's like I'm seeing the Wizard of Oz a lot, and I'm having this like weird, vaguely like erotic encounters with this kind of ghost thing. But I do remember it very distinctly, and it's something that I just has never not been vivid in my mind, of seeing that woman in my room multiple times.
Oh my God.
God,
the seeds. That's so crazy.
The seeds thing was wild.
That's insane.
I know. That was just like...
Did you tell your parents? Did you tell your mom?
No. I was too scared to tell them. They would have like yelled at me or something.
Yeah,
you know? It's like they weren't having that shit. Even though my mom would have probably been freaked out or something.
Yeah, but she wouldn't have told you.
Yeah, I just never told them about it, and it was fine.
So I have a question that I'm asking everyone on this podcast, because it's Comedians with Ghost Stories. Yeah. What is the scariest thing in comedy?
The scariest thing
could be right
aside
now
from men.
Good answer.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sound like too much of an ally, but like it's just such a slam dunk.
Nobody said that,
it's so obviously dudes in the West Village. No, I'm kidding. What's the scariest thing? Can I ask you? Can I turn the tables on you?
My scariest thing in comedy generally is that I think that merit doesn't necessarily get you places.
No, honestly, that is probably my biggest fear about comedy.
Yeah.
Is it's not just about the work or the talent. It's just multiple other factors that can go into it.
It's really wild. I don't think I've ever participated in something that's less merit-based.
I know. It's true. It's true.
Terrible.
It's true.
Well, thank you so much for doing this podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Before you go, tell me about something that you've done in comedy or is coming up that you're proud of, and then give the people where they can find you on the internet.
Well, best place to find my shows is usually on Instagram. Sometimes I'm lazy about posting about shows, but I've got a bunch of shows this weekend. Oh, Rogue Island. I'll be at the Rogue Island Comedy Fest month in October. I'm going to ask you about that after. I think it's going to be a good time. That'll be in October. I think Columbus Day weekend, 13th and 14th.
It's a fun festival.
Okay, can't wait. Yeah, I'm excited. Out of all the festivals I've done, this is the one I'm most excited to do. Some really amazing comics there. And check out my podcast. It's called Mango Bae, M-A-N-G-O-B-A-E. I do it with another very funny comic, Usama Siddiqui. Check us out on Instagram, at Your Mango Bae. It's a good time.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I really hope you liked it. I'm obsessed with these stories and these people. If you enjoyed it, you maybe should come to our live show. We're doing a live show of Comedians with Ghost Stories on Halloween night at 9:30 at Caveat. You can go to caveat.nyc to get a ticket. Also, if you enjoyed this, you can kick us a couple bucks. Just Venmo me at Emily-Winter. What that does is it helps pay for my Podomatic Pro account, which is a little pricey, and I need it for all the downloads. So thank you so much for supporting this podcast. I really do. You appreciate it. You can find me, Emily Winter, at emilywintercomedy.com and on Instagram and Twitter at Emily Mick Winter. That's Emily MC Winter because my middle name is McKenna. Anyway, keep listening. I hope you liked it. Have a great day. Oh my gosh. That was a dumb ending. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Oh boy.